Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, hope all is well. Welcome to Steve Anson Radio Show. It's the Steve Anson Radio Show. Of course, Ryan Yabba. Ryan will probably be joining us next week. He's out right now on a little short vacation. So he'll be joining us next week. I can say, I hope you guys, again, like I said, saying your prayers on your knees during these horrific times. What's going on out there in the world today? Very, very sad. Very sad. A lot of people are at home, fear for their lives, of all different races, and also too, for sure, our young black men. We'll talk about that. COVID, brutality, there's a lot going on in the world. I mentioned last show, someone said, sent me a message, what do you think about what's going on in the world today? I said, the devil is running loose, and there's no prayer. When they took prayer out of schools, it's affecting our kids, and affecting, of course, us knuckleheads, the adults. Prayer is the only thing that we can hold on to, guys. That's the only thing we can hold on to. When you can't hold on to anything else, it's prayer. And before you know it, God will be at your door answering wherever you are at and answering your prayers. The music that you heard today, this while ago, that's Shani Maria Holtz. Shani's out of Houston, Texas, in California. She travels a lot, but she's always open for any type of parties, events. She's available. Absolute fantastic artist. Shani Maria Holtz can be reached on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, she's there. Also, too, for you golfers, if you get a chance, you've probably seen on my site, Switch Grips. Switch Grips is a company that actually have different feels of grips when you're swinging the golf club. It's like a glove. It fits just right in your hands, like a shoe. You have to have the right shoe on to be comfortable. Switch Grips. Just check it out, switchgrips.com. Also, too, Believe So You Can Achieve. Believe So You Can Achieve. That's Ryan Yabro, former New York Jets player, my co-host, who's on vacation. Ryan Yabro, that's his book. That's Ryan Yabro's book. He's the author of that book. It's called Believe So You Can Achieve. And it's a very interesting book. You can't beat it. It's going to give you the right direction, especially these times right now we're going through it. With this mental and physical violence that's going on around the world. We need to check it out, listen to it. Hope you guys, you will enjoy it. The topic tonight, how did police brutality escalate to this point? And that it is now. That's what I want to talk about tonight, because police brutality has gotten out of control, way out of control, guys. First of all, I'd like to say brutality, give you a definition of it. And I have a lot of important important readings I'm going to hit on tonight that's going to shock you, for real. Brutality, savage physical violence, great cruelty, okay, brutally against civilians. Brutality. Brutality is bad. It's evil. It's not good. You want to stay away from it. But for some reason, our law enforcement, some parts of it, there are a few apples out there. Some apples out there has thinking as if that is okay, like it's acceptable. But for some reason, somehow, I feel as if it's been allowed somehow to be used in a certain particular way. That's just my opinion. Welcome to the Steven Hudson Radio Show. Who's calling?
Hey, this is Alan Jones from Palm Desert, California.
Alan Jones, California, sunny as sunny can be. Alan Jones, guys. Alan Jones is my long lost friend. I'm in California, out in Palm Springs, California. Can't be that there. The weather is absolutely incredible. And how are you doing today, this evening?
Oh, everything's lovely here in the Coachella Valley. It's a wonderful day, actually. Very hot, sunny, beautiful for golf and everything else under the sun. Just wanted to call in and talk a little bit today.
Well, I like that. Come on and join me on the show tonight, because I have a whole bunch of topics to hit. I mean, not topics, but actually a little key points I want to talk to about the listeners, to kind of get them informed and awareness that they may not know about. But the topic, first of all, Mr. Alan Jones, how can you be reached? How can people, if they need to talk to you about advice, things like that, words of wisdom, how can you be reached?
Well, I tell you, the easiest way, because of my schedule is so erratic, just drop me a quick email at leaveusalone@gmail.com, and that's loan like a home mortgage loan. I used to consult in the mortgage business, but it's LEAVE. Yes.
I love it.
Leave us
I love
a
it.
Loan. Right.
Right.
And
well,
I always
this.
Answer everyone quickly.
I love it. Can't beat it. I tell you this, Mr. Jones,
I used to be involved with. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, you know, I used to be involved with tech, so I kind of shy away from the social platforms. I just deal direct.
Okay.
That way you can't be cut
that.
Off.
That's right. No, you're right about that. It took me a while to get back to Facebook. Trust me. But that's another topic. But
yeah.
But it's so good to hear your voice. I'm glad you're calling in and joining the show with me. So I'm going to keep you on the show. And we're going to ride together tonight. But before we get into the show, I want to read you. The topic is, of course, how did police brutality escalate to this point? And it is now. Like, why wouldn't this handle 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago? For sure, 20, 30 years ago. For sure, period. Period. I'm not going to say this 20, 30, period. It should have been handled. But we're going to talk about that. But let me give you this Bible verse first. I'm going to wake a lot of people with
okay.
this Bible verse right here. And I'm going to say this Bible verse, and before the end of the show, I'm going to say it again probably two or three times and read it back to back. John 8, chapter 44, verse. It said, you are of your father, the devil. I'm going to say it again. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. Okay? He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. I'm going to read that one more time, because I heard somebody in the background trying to break up my Bible verse. I'm going to go one more time.
Yes, sorry, I had a little bit of
you didn't follow
in the background.
You didn't follow. You're good.
No, someone was repairing something in the background. I just told them to do that.
Okay.
Schedule that for another
okay.
day. Yeah.
Let me give it one more time to the listeners. John 8, chapter 44, verse. It said, you are of your father, the devil. That's who you are. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Ooh, that's a strong verse. All right.
Woo.
Yeah, I know. Mr. A, Mr. A, I'm going to read again now before the end of the show. But I want to read this to you, and I'm gonna get your thoughts. I'm gonna get your thoughts on this post battalion. How do you think that it escalated to this point? How they got out of control? A post battalion of police violence is legally defined as a civil rights violation where officers exercise undue of excessive force against a subject. Okay, this includes, but is not limited to, physical or verbal harassment, physical or mental injury, property damage, and death. In some countries, the color of law protects officers from ambiguous situation. We'll say it again. In some countries, the color of law protects officers. Was widely seen as a key factor in the reform of the Los Angeles Police Department. Okay, out there next door to you, huh? All right, so data released by the Bureau of of Justice 2011 showed that from 2003 to 2009, at least 4,813 people died while being arrested by local police. 4,813 people died while being arrested by a police officer. All right, and that was from 2003 to 2009. Of the deaths classified as law enforcement homicides, there were 2,876 deaths. Of those, 1,643, or 57.1%, you can say, of the deaths were people of color. I'm going to stop right now.
Wow.
Because there's a lot to go on. Now, let me read this. Let me give me a little bit more of this sauce right here. Extensive media coverage and criminal charges against several of the officers involved. In April 1992, hours after the four police officers involved were acquitted in at trial, the Los Angeles riots of 1992, I'll never forget that, commenced and resulted in 53 deaths, 2,383 injuries, more than 7,000 fires, damages 3,100 businesses, and nearly $1 billion in financial losses. After facing a federal trial, two of the four officers were convicted and received 32 months in prison for a sentence. 32 months, okay? Also, too, the case of a person in custody, usually while handcuffed, and usually taking place somewhere between the scene of the arrest and the station house. In March 1991, members of the Los Angeles Police Department attacked an African-American suspect. Of course, ours, yours truly, Rodney King, while a white civilian videotaped the incident. This was a time that I never forget. Hold on one second, Mr. Allen.
Okay.
Welcome to the Stevenson Radio Show. I have Allen Jones online. Who's calling?
This is Coach Hallback.
Coach Almighty Hallback. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good, and yourself? Just stuck in traffic. Had a major accident, so I'm calling in. Sorry for being late, but it's slow rolling, but I'm doing good.
Well, obviously, you're in Florida.
Good thing you're safe.
You're in Florida where the people have their own rules of driving, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. Would you like to have your listeners let them know some of the things you do and how can you be reached? What's all about?
I'm a mental health therapist and also a sports psychology consultant, and I can be reached at Bobby Hallback at Instagram.
Awesome. So, Bobby, I want you to follow on the show. I would love to have you on the show, hang out for a while if you have some time. If that's okay with you, we're going to get to the show now. Mr.
No
Allen.
No problem.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, what I read a while ago, and just basically how this escalate to this point, this brutality? And I'm going to give you some history about when it started and how it was supposedly, that was a plan to fix this or kill it in a sense, but it didn't happen. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I love your verse you read. After all, telling the truth is a revolutionary idea, you know, when faced in a sea full of scoundrels. So that rings very true. As far as, wow, attacking the brutality. Now, it's been attacked for a long time and has been addressed, but yet very slow to remediate, to alleviate the damage and the malfeasance. Growing up in the South, I know you mentioned something about the history upcoming here, so I won't really delve into the real history from, way back, but just at the early formations of this thing, just in relatively recent history, I'll say like the civil rights movement, I won't get back to the beginnings where the foundation was really laid, but just during that time, these same times today, history is repeating itself, the cycle, the same cause and effect, the same, exacerbation by the media, to fan the flames in certain areas for it's as if it's for a certain outcome. But the bottom line is this. Ever since this war on drugs, that has given the green light for a lot of things to take place. You mentioned some things earlier, and these things are parallel because the war on drugs has absolutely been seen as responsible for a lot of the current police misconduct. And I say current, I mean over the last 40 years or so, that this relative leg of history. As such, when we were young until now, you can see how it's pretty much given the green light for this misconduct towards African Americans and Latinos in the United States, I'm saying. Well, while both use, both races, I'm speaking now, people of color, blacks and whites, use drugs basically at the, they both use and sell drugs at roughly the similar rates. I was curious myself, and I looked at some of the statistics earlier. But with it being relatively equal, it's amazing how yet over, African Americans are over six times likely to be incarcerated for drug-related charges. And that was according to relatively recent data, I think 2015, if I'm not mistaken. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it was 2015 because I was looking at some of the stats at 2016, the FBI statistics at FBI.gov pertaining to what you had mentioned or what you had touched on. For instance, in 2016, murder, violent crime in the United States. And again, I'm speaking in terms of the United States. It was, I wanted to really get the most current comprehensive data I could. And I said, 16, because it takes them 2 or 3 years to really compile the data. Well, as it turned out, looking at that particular data at the FBI.gov, white on white crime, for instance, let's say the race of the victim being white, well, there were white offenders on those white victims. It was 2,854. In that same, at that same time, black or African Americans as the offender on white victims was only 533. And when you reverse
repeat that again
you
now.
See
repeat that
lights
again.
On. Yeah.
Repeat that again.
If you have, if we're only talking about white victims of violent crime, murder, the FBI statistics for 2016 had out of 3,500 people killed, you know, I'm sorry, whites killed, 2,854 of them were killed by other whites. Black or African offenders, you know, attacking whites, ended up in 533. So you'll have almost 3,000 white-on-white murders and black-on-white murders, only 533. So when you look at it and turn it around, say, okay, what about blacks? If they were the victims, how was the racial context of the offender on blacks come into play to that? Because that's pretty heavy. You know, 2,854 to 533. Okay. Well, for blacks being the victims, you had whites committing 243 murders of blacks in 2016. Mm-hmm. But black on black crime was 2,570. So it's almost the reverse of white on white. You have black on black crime heaviest. So in other words, blacks aren't killing whites more. Whites are killing whites. Blacks aren't killing blacks more. I'm sorry. Whites aren't killing blacks more. The violent crime, black on black crime is highest. So each one is killing their own, according to the FBI.gov stats of 2016.
So you basically you're saying that this has helped to – basically you're saying that the war on drugs is escalating – this effect on the killings, right?
I kind of crisscrossed two things. What I was saying was that this is the result of current violence in America. So each race is violent on itself. And as far as overall, what is fueling or continuing the early history of our colonization and the growth of America, and it's younger, you know, back in 1850 and 30, when you had, you know, prior to the Civil War, during the Civil War, after the Civil War, all of that era, it was systemic, you know, because of slavery, et cetera, but coming more current. That's why I didn't want to get into the real far history. I figured you mentioned that, you know, during the show here, that you were going to speak on that.
Yeah,
but nevertheless, real quickly. Real quickly, it was just saying that this current war on drugs over the last 40 years, let's say, has really pointed the finger. The cops have really – it has really escalated the misconduct towards African Americans and Latinos during this war on drugs. It's as if the result is simple. African Americans are over six times as likely to be incarcerated for drug-related charges, even though blacks and whites use drugs and sell drugs roughly at similar rates. So they both use and sell drugs about equal, you know, by the rate, but yet blacks are six times more likely to be incarcerated. And some of the legislation, of course, has, you know, really doubled up on the time you need to serve as well. Certain politicians are responsible for those policies. So at any rate, that's kind of why war on drugs has been known to be a big culprit in where law enforcement has taken the heavy hand to drop the hammer on blacks more. Correct.
What do you think about some of that? Because what do you think about some of that? Because I have a certain point in my. What do you think about that? I'm going to say something about it. Some of the things he just said about that could be part of some of the escalation that's going on with the killings from the cops.
Like,
go ahead.
Like my feelings and thoughts about this ongoing cycle is I'm going into like the politics. You have a lot of racists and politicians that support certain police brutality. Also, injustice also lead me to believe that, you know, the police brutality is still around. And then you also have where white American officers feel intimidated by African American and other races that can oppose police brutality when once they come into an encounter or interact. And based on my research and my understanding, that's where I'm thinking it's still steaming from. Like, that's my spin on it. I'm not saying everybody is racist, but I still feel like racism still plays a factor in a lot of police brutality. And then with the psychosocial dynamics also play a factor in why racists still play a factor in police brutality.
So basically, you're saying go ahead, Alan.
I'm sorry. I was going to say I was just going to say what he's saying is just another way of and more precise of saying what I just said exactly, because this police misconduct towards African Americans is all their wind up dolls for the higher up level. They've been given permission basically to run amok. The police, that is, have been, you know, as far as misconduct, you know, really stretching the misconduct wide, they've been giving the green light to do what it takes to clean it up, do what it takes to stamp out the root and the root cause, like you said, due to prejudice whatever slanted mindset. They have gone harder after the black component of civilization, correct? That's exactly right. Be it from a higher up legislature or a behind the scenes move or whatever, or an anointing to tell the cops, go ahead, we'll protect you if things go sideways. I totally agree.
All right. So, but you're saying, like Coach saying, and I feel like it's too, is that they're being coached. Basically, the certain police departments are being coached, so basically, we're saying like the chief, or are we saying like, are you saying higher up, Alan, that's being coached? It's basically like this.
Well, it would.
Yes. So basically, you're saying you have a clan, a Ku Klux Klan police department. All right. So
okay,
I'm just saying that out in a sense. Basically, that's racist, and they're just. They're just basically saying that you can just do what you want to do. It's no problem. You can handle the law in your own hand. You're the law, so you in order. Now, is that what you're saying? That's kind of what you're saying, Coach.
Based on the politics and based on the hierarchies. Yeah, it could be in the police department. It could be, it can be ran by. I'm just gonna throw it out like Republicans, Democratic that may be racist. It could be for example, like in the military. It takes a minority maybe 20, 15 years to get a higher position. Cause I just saw this on the news other day about a black sergeant just made ranks as a captain. I'm just saying in terms of why racism still takes place, so in form of the military basis, it's still there. In form of the police basis, it's still there. In form of the FBI, it's still there. You know what I mean? And then it's just like a pattern that continues to revolve over and over again. And then when the officer get off the hook, when they commit a murder, or when they commit an excessive force to where they either don't damage someone, or kill someone. And then I think, like, a lot of time when it comes to acceptance, a lot of, oncoming rookies, I'm speaking in terms of white, rookies that come on and they be trained and molded a certain way. So there you go again. It's like a revolving door. So I feel like politicians can be in the government setting, or it can be in the police setting, or, the change of commands. So that's where I'm coming from in terms of that.
Well, you know,
wow.
Guys, check this out.
Yeah,
check this out, and we'll get back on. We're gonna stay on this area that you're on right now.
Okay.
Did you know?
And remind me to say why. When you finish.
No. I want you to say why now. Go ahead and do it because ahead and say that because it's on your mind. I don't want you to miss it. Go ahead. Yeah.
See,
what's that?
I'm glad I did not forget this, and I'm glad Coach said what he said. It spurred me to remember this. I wanted to know earlier today. I wanted to know how can they get away with it? What is the case? How come? And even then, when police officers or their hand is held over the flame, you know, indicted, how come? Well, after long trials, months, you know, all of a sudden, well, they get off. And I found the answer. There's a case precedent that has to take place in a shooting, in a cop shooting. So if I understood it, I read it real quickly, but this is how it goes. Okay, I'm going to give you an example because this is a very good example. There was a police shooting. The guy, he was told by the police to drop his weapon. He dropped his weapon and with his hands up. And then the police shot him. Well, that particular case, you see, that happened earlier, you know, which set the case precedent, what happens in those things? Whenever it happens again, if that exact situation, if you don't have a previous example to point to, well, that gives the legal team wiggle room to get the officer off. Let me give you the second half of that example. There was a young boy that was in the same situation, 14-year-old boy. He had a toy gun in his waistband. The same scenario. Drop your weapon. Put your hands up. And he dropped his weapon. No, but he didn't drop his weapon like the case before him where the guy dropped his weapon and held his hands up. The gun was already in his hands. I guess he was a young adult, a man, you know. But this 14-year-old boy had a gun in his waistband. I don't know if it was a BB gun. I think it was. And this is a while back. But he took the gun out of his waistband and dropped it and held his hands up. The police shot the 14-year-old boy. They indicted the cop. When it went to court, guess what? The situations aren't exactly alike because the boy took the gun out of his waistband. The previous case precedent, the gun was already in his hand. He just dropped it on the ground and raised his hands. So the little boy that got shot, that cop got off because of the technicality. Well, it wasn't like the case precedent where that guy was found guilty. This one, the cop gets off because the gun was pulled from a waistband. That's the kind of thing that the law is hinged on, and it has to – whenever there's involved an officer involved shooting, you know, a citizen killed, in order for that citizen to sue and be lucky and get justice, it has to be based on exact case precedent almost. And it blew me away. I said, I got to mention this. And it gave the names of the case and the people, but I don't remember. But it's easily to be retrieved.
So it's basically in a sense – It was in the last 20 years, right? The last 20 years,
correct,
right?
Correct.
Within the last 15 years.
Yes, within the last, I would say, 20 years. Oh, since, say, 1990-ish, I guess, to now, because it has set case precedent. So you'd better find a case that happened exactly like the one you're trying to sue for in order for it to stick and get that cop guilty. Now, we're only talking about bad cops here because – anyone, obviously, that's not a threat. You're not threatened by a 14-year-old boy who's already dropped his weapon, nor are you threatened by a 25, 35-year-old man who has a weapon and has dropped it with his hands high and doing exactly what you're saying, and you have to drop on it. You know, there's no need to kill someone in these scenarios, period.
Go ahead, Coach. Go ahead, Coach. Go ahead.
Can I touch on that?
Yes, you can. I'm finished. Thanks for letting me share that. I just had to get that off my mind because it blew me away.
No, it just touched me. It just touched me. That just showed me right there, in the calculated time of being able to understand what's occurring, what's taking place, almost to a point where the officer that carried out those deadly shots, he still had time to make a decision within 5 seconds or 3 seconds to determine if he was at risk or he was in danger of his life. So that tell me right there, he had enough time to rationalize, should I pull the trigger, once he saw the step occur, step by his hand up. No, I'm just saying, like, so that just tell me right there in terms of being able to assess the situation within in a certain time. Because at the same time, if a guy drop a gun and he threw his hand up, what danger would present itself? There's no danger.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Exactly,
like,
what I said.
Now, just listening to you, like, that's an intent. Because guess what? That's a learned behavior that continues to happen. So it's justifiable in the eyes of the cops.
I tell you see it just like me, and I thought that I may have been kind of crazy because some of my friends say I may be. So maybe I might be, but I'm glad that someone who I see as having sense can look at the situation. Boy, I feel relieved. Someone is admitting that I'm not crazy. Look, I said the same thing. I had to read it 3 times to make sure that's what it was saying. And now I see. So in other words, with that, all of that being said, let's keep an eye on the George Floyd indictments and see how they finish up. Because if you get a surprise that, oh, well, this one's off, that one's not, then or all of them get off, you're going to flash back to this moment. What did the attorney base that on, that case precedent? Was it enough like that? Or did the other attorney say, no, it's not like that, the one that got convicted before. See, this is different. His knee was on his neck for almost 9 minutes instead of 6.5 minutes. Therefore, it's not the same, so we got to let him off. You know, they play tricks like that in the background, and evidently that's why I'm saying this systemic stuff must be coming from higher up. That's the only reasons people down at this lower level are willing to take those kind of chances. Oh, it's only 5 seconds. I don't care. Pow, pow. But there are a lot of good cops, so I'm not saying that across the board. I'm saying in these cases where these egregious things happen, thus the only situations I'm speaking of, because obviously the other cops are doing their job and they are with restraining themselves with this 3 second, 5 second to ascertain danger. Like you're saying, Mr. In your right mind, man.
right. I'm the crazy. That's why most of the cops now. You find someone right now resigning because they want to do what's right. They want to be right. But you have those dirty apples and a lot of filth, evil. The devil's still in those in those organizations, certain organizations. So now let me tell you this, what you guys are, I'm smart over here at the same time.
Okay, hey, Coach, real quick, before he goes, before Steve continues, Coach, what he just said, he's so smart because on the cover of the Drudge Report today said cops are resigning across the country. Exactly what Stevie just said. And you know who's resigning? Just like Stevie just said, probably the good cops. Because the bad ones, there's no need to resign. Their backs are covered.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Can you believe
that's
it?
Right.
He's a man. He's got a crystal ball, Coach. Stevie's the ball here.
Well, you put some cheese in my tea.
I'm impressed.
But let me say this, though. I take that. But
and I'll shut up now.
If you heat it up now, you're going to be really heat up in a few minutes, okay? So check this out. I want you to listen to this. For your listeners, pay close attention to this. Please pay close attention to this. The legal use of deadly force, basically what Coach and Allen was – Bobby Hallback, Coach, and Alan Jones kind of telling you guys in a certain way, in a specific way. I'm going to give it to, was written for the police officers in the Broadway. The law is pretty much in court written up for them, in a sense. That's what they're kind of breaking down to you guys. Am I saying that kind of right, guys? I'm on track with that.
I'm just trying to stay shut up
for a minute.
No, that's okay. So the legal use of deadly force, and we say that we specifically, I'm specifically saying police, but in a broad term, this is how they give it to you. They said prior to 1985, a majority of the 50 states had laws that authorize the so-called any felony policy, essentially, that
police could use firearms or any other means of deadly force to arrest a person suspected of committing any felony. Okay? Suspected of committing any felony. Suspected. Not they did. Of committing any felony that this 1985 was written in 50 states that the police officer could use deadly force. If you stole some bubble gum, well, I can kill you. Okay? So check this out. Including those suspected of such property offenses as checks, forgery, and auto theft. Other states had slightly more restrictive variants on the use of deadly force, limiting its use to persons suspected of having committed forcible felonies, such as a robbery. And about 12 states had no statute at all on police use of deadly force. And I must say 2 points again. 1985, a majority of 50 states put this law in that basically a police officer could use firearms or any other means of deadly force to arrest a person suspected of committing a crime, a felony. Now, that's dirty and evil as it gets. And we are here running around, just walking around, just happy. I'm just going, yeah, I'm just clueless, freaking clueless.
Right.
And you have a problem with people protesting. No, man.
See,
no.
That's
and
it.
Guess what? Guess what, though? But we're going to go up higher, like you said. See, the people that's higher on the ladder above the police officers, they sitting around laughing. Go on, the police puppet.
Yes.
Go on out there. Go on. Do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
See? It's a different ladder. It's a different stage. See? But now
you mean going out there and
people?
Yeah, you mean going out there and do what you have to do, and they, and then they get say,
yeah,
"Don't worry, we got your back." We know, unless you are totally egregious, but we can handle about anything. You just go get the job done. You let us worry about the background.
Let me give you a little bit more. In 1985, the U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Tennessee versus Garner, parentheses 471 U.S. .1 parentheses place restrictions police use of deadly force. The rule that deadly force may not be used unless it is necessary to prevent the escape and the officer has probable cause to believe that the suspect poses a significant threat of death or serious physical injury to the officer or others. Okay. So, but this was out. This was giving them permission, 50 states. Like, if you think they're committing a felony, you can use deadly force. Now, everything that you hear people talking on the streets and saying they're crazy, or is that super intelligent person like you have, Mr. Alan Jones or Bobby Hallback, telling you something and you like, oh no, he's just silly. He don't know. No, they're right. No, the only silly person in the room is you, because you used to hear people saying certain things that they're eliminating people for a reason, and now you see it. You see what's going on. This started in 1985, and again, I'm not gonna say this rapper's name, but they brought up on the news the other day, and he's around by my age, right? By, you know, between 48 and 50, you know, 52 years old. Okay. All of a sudden, they was preaching this, spitting these words out in L.A., talking about the cops. Around that time, 1985, 1986, mm-hmm. 1990 to 1999, you know, all through that whole time, 1992. But no one wanted to believe it. Oh, they're crazy. Oh, don't listen to that music. You remember that? Don't listen to that music. You remember that, right? I'm not going to get to it, but you heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm almost saying in a few minutes exactly where it came from, you know. So everything they said, I'm going to tell you like this. Everything they were saying back then when those rappers was preaching, they were showing you what was going on. But people, you know, cutting their music off. They want people to understand the truth, what was going on. But here it is. Here it is. Is that some interesting, I mean, is that crazy right there just read or what? That's, man.
That's
absolutely
that's
order.
Awesome. That's,
that was an order.
Yeah,
that's an order, okay?
Yeah. I'm happy.
Absolutely.
I'm happy that you brought that out because, you know, like now you don't educate a lot of people that didn't know, but, you know, knowing the history of that, that says a lot. I mean, there's no more second guessing or doubting what occurred, how it occurred, where it started from. You gave them everything they need to know right there. Everything.
Yeah, that's sadly, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Another thing too, a key factor in our police officers use firearms is the attitude of the police chief. Okay, this is written. Same thing you're saying, Mr. A. A key factor in how police officers use firearms is this is a level below the real people. I would say the firearms and the attitude of the police chief. The police chief has a lot to do. The state saying is a key factor of how the police officers out there use the firearms. Now, Coach Hallbeck, if I was a chief, and I know for years, all of a sudden, this black person killed, okay, you have a white person, this black person killed, you know, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm about to check one of my officers and see if they're mentally okay. I mean, why are you going out? This is not hunting. It's not hunting season. But they literally going out there, kills like when we play football, Mr. A, and Coach Harvey know this. You make a big play in the game, that game you get a star.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's a hell of a lot of cops out there right now getting a lot of doggone stars for killing people.
Exactly. You're right.
Somebody getting stars for killing people.
Yep, you know, early on with like just backing up, say like, you know, the Jim Crow South, since I grew up in the South, you know, by the late 19th century, you know, local and state governments, you know, they passed the Jim Crow laws, you know, basically enforced, you know, that strict racial segregation in schools, et cetera. Well, during that era, like, you know, what, last week, you had a lynching here in Southern California, you know, right there by City Hall down at not really far from here. Nevertheless, you had lynchings and all back in the South. Well, the thing was back then that these you know, they were basically mob murders, hanging. I mean, you know, like you see on these old movies, you know, Klan or whatever. But you have them with the police not arresting the perpetrators, right? You know why? Because it was estimated back then. I remember seeing the stat. It was at least one half of those lynchings were carried out with police officers participating there in the Jim Crow South, and that 9/10 of the others, you know, the officers either condoned it or gave that wink, wink, you know, action to it.
Well, say it again. Say it
letting
again.
The crowd
that.
Know the
Please
mob know that it was all right. Yeah,
Please
I'll repeat that.
What
and,
you just
and I had this. I wish I could source that. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I may remember in a minute. But it's during the Jim Crow South, the lynchings that happened back then, the mob, you know, those mob-style murders. I mean, I'm not saying mob like, you know, Tony Soprano. No. The mob, you know, crowd of people. You know how you see them, oh, hang him up, and everyone's, you know. Well, they hang the African-Americans up, the black people up back then, and hang them. Well, the police were not arresting those perpetrators because they estimated that one half of those lynchings that were done were carried out with police officers participating, be they in Klan robes or not, or whatever, but part of the mob that was doing the hanging. And half of the time those people were killed, half of those killings were done with police officers right there in the crowd participating, not just standing by way out on the edge, but participating. And that 9/10 of the other hangings, you know, the other half, 9/10 of the other half that were done where the police weren't there participating, they were there either condoning it or giving a wink that it was okay for the mob to do that. Now, that is in the history books. And that was reported by Arthur F. Rapper in 1933. Yeah, I'm glad everybody was. It was reported by Arthur F. Rapper in 1933. So you can source that and take that to the bank. That's at least got a source on that.
But the problem is, in the police department, you got to stop letting the bad police officer, you know, watching the other police officers back. You know what I mean? I mean, basically, like, okay, you know, here you go. Here's your favor. Okay, my favor. And that's because that's what's going on. And let me say this: it's no different than an athletic background family. Now, whether that particular person that they're that family member they're with, male or female, they may not go, but in deep down inside that athletic family, they want to keep an athlete. Like, you're going to we're athletic, and you're going to have an athletic child. We're musicians, you have a musician child. We're doctors, you're going to have a doctor in this. And you know, some people just like that. You know, it's not like, well, I'm going to let your child do what he want to do. I don't believe in that. Number one, I don't think any parent should be that way. But I would say this, is that no different than the police department. You're racist.
Mm-hmm.
Your kind, and you stick with your kind.
It's culture,
Okay? All right, that's how we said. That's what it said in
the
top. You stick with your kind. Okay. And when they dead and gone, guess what? It's still instilling that next this person. And now they dead and gone, it's still it's still there. That seed is being planted, and that seed is steady growing.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It's steady growing. You may have these riots, but guess what? You need to have, listen, the riots have helped the awareness to the world. Like I said, not just the states, but the riots need to keep going in a positive way, not breaking the people's businesses and stuff like that, breaking glass like that, nothing violent. But I'm saying need to keep the awareness going. And if you find out, you think that you heard too that the NBA supposedly the guys are supposed to basically they think they're going to probably not even play this season. I don't listen to you.
Yeah.
The NBA is different from football, okay? NBA, you don't have that many players on the team. It's compared to football, it's more or less like.
Oh, a Disney World resort, they're talking about canceling.
Right, 15% of the players, maybe. That's all you have compared to an NFL roster, okay? So it's not that many players.
Right.
So they can do that, okay? The NBA players, you have a lot of players.
NFL is real.
Like they so much millions of dollars a week, you know what I mean, or a month. Some guys not getting paid that much money, and some of them are, and much more.
Right.
The NBA
transporting the equipment for the NFL by itself is a lot.
Right, the NBA they have that. I mean, they could do that. They actually could do that, and you know, being a small teams that financially they can help each other, so they have the power. They could actually do that just to keep this protest in a sense going. And I'm not against it. I'm not against it, but I just wanted to. I went off for a minute, but
no.
I forgot everything. I forgot everything I said. I was just speaking. But go ahead.
Remember one little caveat we said for people who may have joined late, that all police aren't bad. We're only speaking of the ones like these shootings and all. We're talking about the ones that are bad. You know, that kind of thing. We're only speaking in context of the bad, not the good.
Right.
Because there's exactly. I've had experience with both good and bad, and more good than bad on a personal basis. So
that's what I'm saying too.
Exactly. Just so everyone knows out there in TV land
I have friends that's police officer. And they know I have their back. If someone's going to have their back, and they're police officers. Thing is that you have some police officers out there that they're on a different level. Now, God will handle them. They will be handled. But like this, I'm going to tell you like,
oh, yeah.
I got a coach told me, if any of my former players listen to their note, was a coach, his name is Coach Junior. He said that he told one guy was we was getting ready to eat. We stopped. I think we stopped. We was going to, I think we were going to actually play Stephen F. Austin, I believe, going to New Orleans, this Bayou Classic, and we stopped, and, you know, stopped at the Holiday Inn. Of course, Robinson got out, and we, you know, every time he stopped, they stopped, you know, people from everywhere kind of getting autographs and whatnot, but we was in line to get something to eat and then get back on the bus. And we looked at my coach, and it's like he's about to fight, like he's going to fight with the players. And, you know, he said, if he can't, you know, I'm gonna say, I can't tell you exactly what he said, because maybe some kids listen on right now. But he said,
radio.
If you keep blanking with me, he said, I'm gonna cut your throat, right? So we look at me laughing. Now, he's telling one of the players this. And he was saying, though, but this is what he said. He said, listen, he said, you can be controlled. You can be handled. And that goes with police officers that are doing the killing. There's no one, listen, there's no one above God. You understand what I'm saying? There's no one.
That's
you may
correct.
Be thinking you peaches and cream down here, but one day, when it's time for you to start hearing that, you know it. And you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it worse than what you felt in here. But go ahead, Mr. A. You were saying something. Go ahead. I just wanted to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, let's go to George Ferguson real quick, that scenario of the two young cops that were there with the older seasoned cop who had his knee on his neck, right? Remember, the other two were like their second day on the job or whatever, right? Well, notice
right.
how one or two of them were saying, he's having trouble. Don't we need to turn him on his side or something? Or blah, blah, blah. And basically I'm sure the head nod or the acknowledgement was shut your mouth and just hold his legs or whatever it was. You know, it was like, I'm teaching, I'm showing you how to do things. So just, you know,
right.
shut up and observe, you know, that kind of
yeah,
thing. See, they want you to shut up and go along to get along. See, that's the culture. You got to have each other's back. You got to shut up and go along to get along. But see, it bothered him because he knew the core of his humanity was telling him, slam on the brakes. This ain't right. Say something. And he eked out a little, should we turn him on his side? You know, his brain and his humanity had to at least say a little something. So,
right.
At least all hope is not lost. He may not have done
sure,
anything,
sure
but at least tried to do a tiny bit.
But like,
he knew
but like true enough. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm finished, coach.
I'm analyzing a little too deep. But like everything that's spinning in my head is like the intent to kill, you know. That's what I'm saying. Like as in like it's been so ingrained and embedded in like you know hatred for so long. Like and then when there are guys that have the heart or the kind of the thoughtful word of like, hey, let's be more considerate, let's be mindful. But that goes to show you how deep some of these officers. I'm for officer. I'm not against officers at all. But what I'm saying is like. When you are malicious and you have hatred, nobody can turn you away from what you want to do, you know. And I think that's part of where this guy, this officer's standpoint was. Like, it was already there in
yep.
his mind. Like, I'm going to go beyond what you want me to do, you know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a pattern that's been ingrained and embedded for so long. And who knows? It could come from parents, you know, or fellow officers or just certain society that they worship, that's just me analyzing, maybe analyzing a little too deep, but I'm real sensitive on the topic because I just feel like it's like hatred from within and it's been also taught, you know? So, but I mean,
yeah,
there are good officers,
yeah.
there are good officers out there, but that, to me, that should even be spoke about because officers, know if they're good, they shouldn't feel guilt at all. You know what I mean? Cause they can't control control their comrades, you know. At the end of the day, we all got
that's
choices.
Right.
And the officers
right.
have choices to be good or be bad.
Right. right. And, you know,
yeah.
we talked about
Go ahead, Steve.
We talked about the topic about how did the police brutality escalate to this point that it is now. That question goes a lot of different ways, okay? Now, it was allowed. This has been allowed to go on this way, okay? thank God for the smartphones, camera phones, to post and show the world what's going on. No different than Alabama. When there was when people down there was being treated in Alabama, they was, and all of a sudden you had this reporter got out there and got some photos of it, and people came down and rode across that bridge, right, in Selma, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this is what we're going on. This is what we're going on right now with we see with the police brutality being escalated at the point it is now. How did it get that way? It was embedded. It was planted, and it's still being planted. Okay. Now, guess
right.
what, guys? Guess what, guys? You, all of us are from the South. Okay. And all these movies with slavery and everything in the South. Do you know that certain people in the world don't believe that? They're saying, "Oh, that's not true." You know, and not even letting the kids look at it like, "Oh, that's not true. Go to bed. That's not true." Brainwashed in the wrong way. And we understand how deep this really is. The media is not telling the truth how deep this really is. Okay? And they need to get deep. Okay? Get deep in it and do it right and start cleaning up. Now, our leader in chief said we need to drain the swamp. But this is a swamp that needs to be drained. Okay? This is a swamp that needs to be drained. You need to go in there and start draining it. And they need to start, you know, bringing them out, being tested. And guess what? Why did you allow this to go on for so long? Okay, well, come on with us.
Don't.
Yeah, that's what needs to be done. A lot of people need to be put in jail that had to pull a trigger. You can pull that trigger by not pulling that trigger, by telling somebody else to pull it. Hold on 1 second.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on one second.
Okay.
I think, welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Who's calling?
Yes, sir. This is Brother Mike. How are you?
This is
yes,
who?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who,
this
who's,
is Brother
who's
Mike.
Calling?
This is Brother Mike.
Bernie Mike? Okay, go ahead.
No, Mike.
Go ahead.
Mike.
Okay, I'm listening. Go ahead. We listen to you. Talk to us. How's your evening going?
Thank you very much. This police brutality is not only United States. It's a global issue. That's why we have a global unrest as a result of George Floyd, killing. And also, it happened 2 nights ago again in Atlanta. I mean, every day we have it. I mean, it's just police seems they've forgotten their human rights, that the other person has a human rights too. I mean, in case
right.
of Mr. Brooke, you know, he was
right.
he was nicely, and of course, well, it was the birthday of her daughter. Well, he has drunk a little bit, and therefore, you know, many times police catch you for, say, speeding or something, they let you go. I mean, why
right.
they could not let him go at that time is a common sense. If this is the situation, we don't want no more bloodshed in our hands, the police. As a result, they created more bloodshed. Now Atlanta is in fire. New York is in fire. London is in fire. And all over the globe is sympathized with what's going on in United States of America. I mean, police should, you know, they could easily shoot maybe his leg, not three shots on the back. You know,
that's in Hong Kong.
I mean, simple.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, sir. Hong Kong.
Where are you calling from?
This is Mike from Asia.
Asia? Okay. Well, Mr. Mike, I'll tell you what, everything you're saying is totally true. And we had the discussion. I have on Mr. Allen and also to Coach Hallback. But, and again, thanks for calling to the Stephen S. Radio Show. But you're certainly 1,000% right. We talked about that. It's like, why couldn't they have shot him in the police and shot him in his legs? If you're going to shoot, but why even shoot? Why even shoot? But why are you shooting to kill? That's just totally wrong. But like you said, do you believe this, Mr. Mike? We were saying, before you called, this is what we were saying. We feel that it's been ingrained. It's a seed of race. It's a seed of racism in those police departments that's being planted all across the world.
And Mr. Mike, we are pleased to have you call into the show. I'm sure I speak for everyone. We want to hear your viewpoint on that clearly. We're so glad you calling in to give us, you know, your insight. So I'll shut up and let you speak to us on that. I'm dying to hear it. I love it.
No.
We are all together in this. We are all together in this. You know, the question is, you know, for example, Singapore, we are trained, you know, to obey the police. I mean, much more relaxer. I mean, we have a national ID card. We show it to them. I mean, I am American citizen, but I'm in Singapore right now. But anyway, the bottom line is Singapore is very nice. I mean, but if we do a crime, of course we get punished. You know, do you remember 10 years ago there was an American student and he did some graffiti on the cars in Singapore.
And he got
caned. What happens? Exactly. You know, because, you know.
I remember.
You have to know the law, my friend. And yet, United Nations asked the Singapore police discount him, sent him back to USA. United States Embassy here in Singapore did everything they could. Singapore said, this is our land. He did this, and his punishment is, I think it was 80, if I'm not mistaken, 80 or 60
uh-huh.
lashes.
And he was a diplomat's son, wasn't
he? So
he
got it.
Some official
but
son, wasn't he?
Right. I think he has some kind of, or official. This is like a 10 years or a little bit above that. So we kind of, you might be right, absolutely. But they did it because, you know.
That's
people
the law.
Will see that, yes, and people will see that. And say, okay, you know, but they didn't shoot him. They captured him. They, they don't shoot him. Singapore is one of the cleanest cities, very calmest possible cities in the world. And also, yes, we have our gangs here, Chinese gangs and other gangs from different areas. But overall, you know, we mind our own business and we go, come back. And, you know, racism exists in Singapore, yes, especially in housing. If you come first time in Singapore, you want to rent an apartment, you have to pay like 6 months ahead. That's because most of them belong to the Chinese Chinese people here, the rental. And then, or if you're from India, or you're from certain African countries, because they cook a special food and a smell is different, so they won't even rent them. And they have to try a different landlord and et cetera. We don't say racism doesn't exist here, but, there is room for hate here, you know, Singapore, because we are all from African, Chinese, Asians, and many Americans work here in Singapore. So therefore, you know, we all get together. I mean, there is no room for.
let me ask you a question then. I want we have Coach Hall back on the end. Coach, you want to ask him a question? A couple questions.
I was gonna ask, like, what's the difference from, you say you living in the U.S. but you just went back to Singapore, you visiting Singapore. So, like, what's the difference as in the lifestyle, the culture, in terms of? I was trying to recall. Did you say anything about lynching? Did you say lynching, like in Singapore? I don't know if I heard that correct. I was trying to see.
In Singapore, we do not lynch anybody here because if we found who the hell did that, that person will be pretty much in the biggest problem in the his or her life. So we don't do lynching here in Singapore because we are ahead of the world. Singapore, you know, racism, I said, exists, but it's very minimum as possible.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, there is no, at least it's much better than the high level in the United States. And yet, this police should be able to handle Mr. Brooks' issue. They know he was kind of mad, and he was cooperating. He was, but one thing you guys have to YouTube it. Don't talk to the police. So if in case of Brooke, if they ask him anything, he would just be silent. You know, he says, "How many are you drunk? Have you been taken?" You know, the way he talk. Yes, I have had one or two. I wished he would saw this. It's in YouTube. It's called "Don't Talk to the Police." Police is not your uncle.
Right.
Police is not your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Police is not your member.
Therefore, they're there to do a dangerous job.
He should be. Yes, and he gives a lot of information that they use it against him. If you look at that 46-minute video, you will see when you talk, they get the information, and then they come. And then he was saying, "Oh, I'm trying to investigate you. I'm trying to investigate." You see how they put words on, changing the words and twist the words. And suddenly this guy, which was trying to be nice, suddenly, boom, boom. Go ahead.
I just have to say one thing to that, and I just listen. That was self-incriminating. He incriminated himself. So that was like a psychological reverse coming from the cops to the civilian. So that's exactly what they did.
In the words of football, that was a double reverse.
Right.
But quickly, one quick point, though. As he was I'm sorry, let me be specific. As the policeman was asking him questions in which to flip on him, don't forget, by pulling up to the site and running his plates real quick while he was asleep in the car, you know he did because that's unusual, someone being asleep in a car in a drive-thru. He got back the report real quick, you know, this person was let out of jail on 6 years or whatever of domestic abuse and blah, blah, blah. So in the cop's mind, now he's already got violence associated with this guy and prison or jail already associated with the guy. So when he got him out and started questioning him and then the guy broke and started tussling, his mind was already triggered in preparation for a violent confrontation with this guy because he had already run his plates. You know that. So it was worse.
Brother Mike,
yes, sir.
I have a question. This is Steve. I have a question. Now, you saying that the police brutality is minimum over there, right? It's minimum, right? Why is racism not a problem pretty much there? Why is it such minimum? And also, too, just tell me that. Why is it so minimum? And also, too, Mr. Allen was saying about war on drugs. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. First of all, the drug, we have some drug issues in Singapore, but of course, but not a lot. That's another minimum matter. And people here are from all over the world. We have from India, from America, from Canada. We have people from all over the world, either working or retiring in Singapore or, you know, etc. So therefore, you know, once you see each other, say I see an American citizen in, you know, in Singapore, it's like we know each other for 10 years, you know. Oh, my God,
right.
You're from America. Tell me which part of America are you from. And they say, and, you know, we connect quickly. This connection quickly, it helps, you know, we forget at all about racism. We forget about, but if we are in the United States, yeah, we would have a problem right away.
A mutual respect.
You see what I'm saying?
Mutual respect.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mutual and then missing, because we miss our homelands as much as the other person does. So suddenly something is connect each other because we are far away. It's 6,000 miles far away from USA. So therefore, you know, we connect more and loving each other. I mean, we know many Americans here, we have no problem. But I know if we would be the same situation in United States, we would, for sure, we would have some problems. And
and that's beautiful, too. That's what we're missing here in the United States. We're missing that. We're missing appreciation of just life and people within itself and just the beauty out of people. And, just appreciation of that, but basically what you're telling me, Singapore is a model for the United States, for us. It's a model for us, the world, what you tell us right now, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. That's beautiful. Mr. Allen,
welcoming of humanity, just seeing someone on the street and having that openness and welcoming of an attitude, is why handshakes were created many, many, many years ago, to show that you don't have a weapon in your hand. You're embracing it's a brotherhood, you know, of respect and trust. We have lost that. We have lost our humanity as a people. We become more self-centered and tools of malfeasance, basically, of the devil, if you will. Instead of embracing our humanity, we have to get back our humanity, and that's all it is to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to quote something from Martin Luther King Jr. real quick. It's simple. He said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. Love is the center of universe. Love is center of universe,
yes.
And without love, you know, the planet, Mother Earth, is every day is around the sun, 24 hours a day. One day is 24 hours and goes around the sun and again goes around the sun. Why? Because it gets nourishment from the rays of the sun, the love of the sun. Without the sun, there was no planet exist. We would not exist without it. So therefore,
love is the strongest vibration energy in the universe.
Yep. Coach, you want to talk to Brother Mike? You have anything to say to Brother Mike? Coach, what's all about?
It's nice to hear what he say about his, you know, what his perspective are and his experience coming from two different worlds, you know, to be able to connect and see the difference. So, Brother Mike, like, how do you feel in terms of that, living in the U.S. and then being able to go back to your country? Like, how do you feel? What's the difference? What you like and don't like, or what you like and dislike, rather, if that makes sense. compared to your country and compared to here in the U.S.?
What I like is because people are very friendly. People are also, you know, following the law, as it says, because they know, you know, for example, if you put $100, sorry, if you put $100 SGD, Singaporean dollars, in the street, nobody look at it, nobody pick it up, because they know that even if you have a good will trying to take that and maybe give it to the officer, call the officer or something, it's too much hassle. And plus, you know, it may be an sting operation. It's like many times in USA, they put the car and the people come hijack it, and we know it belongs to the police, and police catch you one mile later, you know, they stop the car, etc. So nobody touches. Nobody. I mean, people are, it doesn't work to touch $100, for example. And many tourists we have here in Singapore, I mean, they lost their handbag or their wallet, supposed to be in the park, and then they went back, trace it, and it still is there. Nobody touch it.
Wow.
Nobody even open it up to see it.
Wow.
You see, that's a difference, my friend. That's a difference, my friend.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Well, Mike, I'm
yeah.
so glad you called in to give us some insights on other witnessing, you know, witnessing real acts of humanitarianism, and to let us know that we still have hope for the future. You know, it's a breath of fresh air to hear you speak.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And you, and so, Brother Mike, how far are you? So you're 10,000 miles away from us right now, right? 10,000 miles?
Yeah, 6,000-7,000 miles, yes.
Yeah. But Brother Mike, let me tell you. Yeah, go. You guys want
to solving this racial issues 10,000 miles away?
Yeah, it is. It's all over, like you said. It is. Brother
and look
Mike,
at Hong Kong
Brother
before
Mike.
The pandemic.
That's right, Brother Mike.
Yeah, I did. I find your show, so I think I know your show by now. I will try to come in the future. But the question is. The earth is but one country, all mankind are its citizens. The earth is but one country, all mankind are its citizens. Let us be love of each other and be nice to each other. Then hatred and division is going to bring mankind to its knees, which it brought it. We saw the police knee to the people. We saw many, even Nancy Pelosi and many of the House of Rep people, they put their knee down for 8 minutes and 46 seconds for George Floyd. So mankind needs peace. So now either we change our habits or we are going to experience more and more traumatic matters until mankind as a whole, I mean, right now we have a global unrest right now as we speak because of George Floyd and also Mr. Brooks and the other lady that she was EMT, I forgot her name. Is that Tatiana, I think, or Tina, I think. Something I forgot. If I do apologize, and all Eric Garner, the names is wrong. It's like more than 5,000, more than 10,000 people, if you want to name it, or Ahmed Arbery. We sympathize with them, but the question is, people have to change immediately in United States. Whether he's a black, whether he's a white, whether he's yellow, whether he's red skin, or any of other thing, because If we don't, we have little bit of time left. We can change everything in the planet altogether. I mean, USA together. We're looking at United States right now. I mean, world
right.
is looking at us right now.
He
so
is.
Either things will get better or things will get worse. This is the two conditions left for humanity. So which one they want to choose is up to the people. Go ahead, please.
Brother Mike, I cannot thank you enough. You brightened the show. We was talking and giving awareness to the world. And you call in. God always has the last word. And you woke a lot of people up and showed us how we need to be. And you're more than welcome to call in on the show at any time, Mr. Mike. I'm going to have to start letting you guys go. My time is running out. But, Mr. Mike, we can't thank you enough. Guys, you want to say? Yeah, guys, want to say two things? Or let's say about 15 seconds. Each one of you guys to.
Yeah, I love you guys. I love you guys, and remember, love is center of universe. Without love, we are robots, basically. Thank you
Amen.
Very much.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Thank
Mike.
Thank you so much, Brother Mike. Thank you. Enjoy your
You're
night.
Welcome.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You too.
Mr. Callback, Coach, you want to give us like 20 seconds or something? Yeah.
Hopefully, I enjoyed the show. Hopefully we was able to, create some positive thoughts in the midst of what's going on in the world and just bring in light to everyone. You know, every listening ears, hopefully, they take it in and kind of just marinate about what was talked about, and let's make a difference as a whole, and I appreciate everybody's time and having me here also, Mr. Allen and Mr. Anderson. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Coach.
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure having Coach on.
Yeah.
Coach, thank you.
Enjoy your night. Thanks for joining the show. Thank you. Mr.
And
Allen.
Stay out of that traffic.
Yeah, right. Mr. Allen, you got
all right.
Give me 30 seconds.
Okay. All I have to say is everyone has to look within their own sphere of influence, try to be the light in the world that you'd like to see. Set an example by doing the right thing, even when no one's looking. And that's
Love
our
it.
Hope for humanity.
Love it. Love it. Mr.
Oh,
Allen.
All righty.
Thanks for joining the show, and always. Love to have you on the show. Thanks again, and good night.
Thank you, and have a good night.
Guys, hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. We're giving guys awareness what's going out there in the world tonight. Beautiful, beautiful show. Thank God. I'm glad Mr. Brother Mike called in. And just to give this awareness, too, don't forget that the whole world is love out there, and we can't forget about the love that's in the world. Okay? Yeah, this hit home in the United States, and that's racism all over, like you said, but also, too, that love. Love, at the end of the day, will overweigh it. We have to keep praying, keep our prayers alive. Okay? Prayer is what we have. Again, when you have no place to go, and you really don't want to talk to anybody, you can always get on your knees and you start talking to God. Okay? God will answer your prayers. And my mom used to always say, she said, when you run out of words and it's out of your control, you always leave it in God's hand. He will fix it. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Good night.
So young we were, we used to do the cutest little things like picnics in the park on a Saturday by